Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A New Day Show, broadcasting out of Brookfield, Connecticut. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul. I am so excited this morning because we have an extremely special guest for all of you, my listeners. And if you have not yet have a piece of paper or pen to write with, you are going to need that because we are up for a very knowledgeable and insightful episode this morning. Our guest is already here, and our guest is none other than the international speaker, Mr. James Amps. Good morning, James.
Well, good morning, my queen of the empowered soul. How are you doing?
I am just so blessed to have you this morning. And I just want the listeners to know that they need to brace themselves because you are one special gentleman, and I'm just so excited to know you and to call you friend, my brother.
No,
so
I think it's the other way around because, you know, you've been doing some stuff since 1998, and you've been doing what you love, so people should be excited about you and what you're doing, not just, you know, the people that's on the other end of this radio.
Yes, you know, that's what life is about, following our passion, because we are all so unique. But you know what I found out over the years, James, is that a lot of entrepreneurs, small business owners, they spend a lot of their time going around in circles to find people to compete with instead of tapping deep down into the core of their soul to find out what makes them so unique and so special. So it's just an awesome thing to see people who believe that and to help to motivate others. I just want to do a little housekeeping, and then we are going to go straight to James's interview this morning. I want to remind the listeners that the chat room is up, and you go to blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. Also, we want you to check the show regularly. Mark it also as your favorite. This way, you will be kept up to date and well informed of what we are doing here on the show. And tomorrow, we are on again, and our guests will be Dr. George Fraser from FraserNet. Those of you who don't know him yet, you're up for another treat because he is the guru of power networking. And we are also going to be having Marsha Pitiasu. And Marsha is out of Arizona, and Marsha will be speaking on toxic people and how to get rid of them. And at 11 this morning, we are having Mr. Brian Franklin on, and Brian is the CEO and founder of One I mall. So that's just a little of our housekeeping. And the call-in number with your questions for Mr. Amps or any of the other guests is 646-915-8166. And I want you to pray for my voice this morning because I'm having a little frog here in my throat. I have to find a way to turn it into a tadpole so we can be effective at what we are doing this morning. Well, without further ado, we will go directly to the man of the hour. James, thank you so much for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to just help us all out to understand what being self-employed and being an entrepreneur, small business owner is all about. But before we go into the meat of the story, because I've known you for a few years and I have watched you and I know your story. And I know you didn't just start where you are. So would you like to just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and where you began?
Daphne, you make things difficult off the bat, huh? I'm not coming on your show anymore. I actually came out of T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia, where they made the movie Remember the Titans. So we got lucky, and they made a movie about our football team. So some of your listeners might see me on that on the end of the movie where they show the original Titans. So that's done some good marketing is concerned for us.
Yes.
But I went straight into the Navy and then came out of the Navy and went to a college and started working at a college as the director of a college, and then I met a couple of friends, one of them, George Henderson, who started talking to me about Les Brown and Willie Jolly and gave me one of their tapes, and I started listening, and I knew that there was more that I can do than be a director of a school because I couldn't go any higher than a director because I didn't have a degree. So I just started listening to those tapes and then started my business back in 1993 as Amps International LLC. So, and then it's taking me to where I am right now, which we'll, you know, we can talk about.
Yes, but I know even as a child, what you're doing now wasn't part of your vision or your dreams, because even your dad had a different vision for you, right?
He sure did. I mean, my dad wanted me to go to college, do those 4 years, and go to college again, do 8 years, go to college again, do 12 years, because he stayed in school. He's the one who wanted me.
My God.
When he died.
And here we are today.
That's all he did was stay in school. So he wanted us to do that too. But, you know, kids and their parents, we always try to do the opposite of what our parents did. I went into the Navy.
Exactly.
My dad was Army. My daughter is in the Air Force. So we never do the same thing our parents do. But that's what life's about.
Exactly. Because we are all created, not specially, but unique. I mean, not equally, but uniquely. And this is the message we want people to understand. Yes, there are family heirlooms, but our career does not have to be one of those.
Exactly. Most of the time we get hung up in doing what our parents did and never really looking at what our talents, our skills, and our abilities are, and we just keep doing what our parents did. So if our parents are working 9 to 5, then we want to go work 9 to 5, and we're not thinking about opening up a business or doing our own thing.
Exactly.
To be happy,
exactly.
But trying to make a living. And that's what most folks do.
Exactly.
They just try to make a living.
And for the parents who are listening to you this morning and they have young children, what I want to encourage them is to engage their children into stimulating dialogue about what their visions are. And really don't concentrate on imposing the things that you wanted that you really didn't accomplish on them, because God created them for something different. So just support them in the things that they're doing.
And you're exactly right, because most parents and even most schools, a lot of schools I go to, most of them will say, you know, 95 or 98% of our kids are going to college. And you have to look at college, you have to look at church as what they are. They're businesses. Colleges are businesses.
Exactly.
They're there to make money. Most of the time when people go
exactly.
to college, they're not going to be doing the same thing that they learned in college out in the workforce. It's a business.
That's right.
Understand that. When you go to church, it's a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. You have to understand it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people spiritually,
exactly.
They lift it, but it's still a business, and that's how I look at it. And once people start understanding what these things are out here, then they'll be better prepared to do what they need to do.
Yes, I'm so glad you say that, James, because when you say that to Christians, their eyes pop wide open because they say, how dare you refer to church as a business? It is.
Exactly
it is.
Right. They're 501c3.
It is a
non-profit.
Business.
So, you know, that's how I treat
right.
them. When the churches tell me they want
that's
me to
right.
come and speak for free, I tell them they're out their mind. They have money. If they don't have money, they're not running that business right, so go out and get it.
That's
and then,
right. It's just a big corporation like any other corporation out there.
Exactly right.
Now, I know that you focus a great deal on personal accountability issues.
Exactly.
Why is this important, and why does it play such an important role, not only in your business, but also in your personal life?
Well, for me, in personal accountability, when I started my business in 93, I started talking about the challenges of life. And then when we look at our challenges, in order to overcome those challenges, I started listening to a John Miller and a Mark Samuel, and they were talking about instead of blaming people, why don't we try to solve issues? And so my thing was, that's really what I do, is I'm trying to teach people to overcome those challenges by solving issues. Number one, you have to recognize what your problems are, own up to it, and then start asking different questions. And those different questions bring about different results. And that's your personal accountability. We're always looking for personal growth, attaining different goals, improving relationships, increasing standards of performance. We're always looking to move forward instead of going into that victim loop. And so that's why I said let's start looking at personal accountability, and let's start talking about it and understanding what it is, so I can help people to, instead of pointing fingers, to solve issues like you do. I mean, you talk about problem solving. That's what we need to get into.
Yes, because, you know,
schools and institutions, we need to do more of problem solving. And you can't do that unless you recognize what the problem is and own up to it.
Exactly, because, you know, everyone is always looking for somebody else to blame. You know, it is always somebody else's responsibility.
Exactly
it's
right.
Very rarely when you see people who really invest in themselves, they will know the buck stops here. It is with me. It is no one else's responsibility but mine.
Exactly.
The buck stops here. You know, a lot of parents get blamed, and parents do the best or did the best they could with what they have.
Exactly.
You know? And
you're right.
It's time for people to take responsibility and move on.
Well, we look at the easiest thing to blame, and when something happens in the school system, the easiest people to blame are the parents. And so,
exactly.
You know, we're not trying to blame the school system, but you have to look at what the school is about. The school is about the memory power. The school is about going there and getting your education, period. They have become now babysitters. Because our parents
that's
are
right.
doing what? Our parents are out here trying to make a living, so both of them are out there working, or one of them's out there working. They have and the kids have nobody to come home to, but who do you blame? It's an entire society that has changed, and that change created where we are today, and it's a blame society.
Yeah, and you know, these kids are now being raised by the mall and the TV set or the video games, because... And we are not saying this to blame parents, because there are a lot of one-family household parents now. And, you know, they have to keep food on the table, and they have to keep roof over the head,
exactly.
over their heads. And a lot of those families are here from other countries, so they don't have the grandparents or the extended families who will give a watchful eye over these children. And that's some of the reasons why we are losing our teenagers.
And that's why we
need,
instead of just blaming the parents, we need to arm them with the information that can help them to raise their children.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds
mm-hmm.
of organizations out here. I belong to the 100 Black Men. And so there are all kinds
mm-hmm.
of organizations out here that you can send your kids to help them grow up. But you also need to
right.
be involved. And I don't care how busy you are. We have to tell these parents
mm-hmm.
that they have to be involved. Otherwise, they're going to be raised by the streets, which most of them are right now.
Yes, and it's a shame. James, why did you see it essential to diversify your company?
Well, that's a good question. When I first started speaking, all they told me, the speakers that I listened to were, you know, just go out there and speak, and you can make a living out of it. You can make good money. And they were telling me how much money they were making. You know, they were making $500,000, $1 million, so they said. And I found out 3-4 years later that you can't just make a living speaking. Is that if you're going to have a business, and this is what I had to learn in those 3 years, because I just quit my job and opened up AMPS International. I had to learn how to run a business. And if I understand how to run a business, then I can plug other things into it. And that's why we have now the AMPS Entrepreneurship and Leadership Institute and AMPS Entertainment, which I have a music studio. And I didn't want to get into entertainment. Someone gave me the music studio. But if I understand the concept of the business, I can plug that studio in and plug that entertainment in, and it's no problem. We have the Upscale Events by Mosaic, a events management company, and then we have LA Holdings, which last year we got into real estate. We got into real estate when the market was down. So, I mean, I'm now learning about the Section 8 and about how to acquire all these homes that we're getting and putting people in them. So we're understanding that process. But I wanted to make more money, and I couldn't do it just speaking. So I said, let's diversify and let's put other things into this AMPS International, and let's put some subsidiaries in there. And that's what we began. And so now I understand how to run a business. I can have someone else run the AMPS Entertainment. I can have somebody else run Upscale Events. I handle all the financing, so I know what comes in, what goes out. That's my thing. I love dealing with money, so I know where it's going and how much I get. But in order for me to make money in a down economy, I have to have other businesses, and that's where we are today. These other businesses help to fuel what we do now.
The
person that you're going to be interviewing next, Brian Franklin, I think he can even expound on
that. Right, he's going to be talking about corporate economics. Yep,
he understands the power of business and how to run it, and that's what I'm looking at all his information and stuff, and we had met some years ago, but he understands what business is about, so they're going to enjoy that at 11 o'clock.
The beauty, James, about diversifying what we do is that we don't need to have all the skills, and that's where your power team comes. You surround yourself with people who have the skills to let these other subsidiaries be a viable business. Of course, you need to have the savvy and the common sense to watch what's going on.
Right.
But you don't really have to manage them and have the skills, because the time of Lone Rangers has long been gone.
Yeah,
there are people out there willing to support your venture. We all can find someone who believes in what we are doing.
Exactly.
So sit and brainstorm with us. If you listen to people who are multimillionaires, there's none of them who say, I did it by myself.
Exactly.
Because it cannot happen.
You're right.
It just cannot happen.
No, and it doesn't happen like that. And that's why I surround myself with people who know more than I do. I don't understand how to run an events management company. I don't understand how to run a real estate organization. So I need people who know more than I do. But one thing that I'll never give up is the dealing of the finances. I need to know what's coming in and what's going out. I'll never give that up.
Exactly.
I don't care what kind of organization it is. There's no business manager in the world who can tell me where all my finances are. I need to know that.
Exactly. And that's why, even though we are surrounding ourselves with the people who have the skills and the talents to help us to get to where we are, in order to attract those people, we have to know the right questions to ask. Because we can still have them there, but if we're not asking the right questions, this still can give us a 6 for a 9, and we just think everything is all right. So although we are saying surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, because that's when you know you're going somewhere, when you are humble enough to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. Because if you, my take, James, is if I'm the smartest one in the group I'm hanging with, it's time for me to find some new people.
Right.
Because
they
are not challenging me.
You're right. And that's a great point. But my thing is, when you're plugging in these different businesses, it's not that you need to know how that business operates, because that individual who you bring in should understand how that business mm-hmm. operates. I need
to know
overall how it fits into what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And in diversifying, adding value. Right. And in diversifying what we do, I just need to make sure I'm on top of things. So that's all that's
mm-hmm.
about. I've enjoyed having, you know, different people come to me with different ideas that they want to try to plug in, and everybody tries to plug in everything, and they have no clue on what they're doing with their business. So when people tell me, especially speakers, other speakers who come to me and say, James, you know, I want you to find me more gigs, I'm like, well, number one, I don't know who you are. We talk a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know who you are. And number
exactly.
two, how are you running your business? And I learned that
right.
very early on by this guy by the name of Harvey Alston. And he's in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And when I talk to him, every single time you talk to him, it's about how is your business running? How are you doing your marketing? What's your profit and loss? So he's talking to you as a business person, not as a speaker, because he understands
right.
the power of the business. And if anybody
exactly.
wants to understand how to do business, then you need to call Harvey Austin in Cleveland, because this guy understands business. And he's one of the top speakers in the country.
Awesome.
So my thing right
awesome.
Now in the speaking industry, I don't need to speak 150 times a year. I don't want to speak
mm-hmm.
15, 20 times a month. That's not what I do. When I first started out, I had to do that in order to survive. I was making $500
mm-hmm.
per presentation in the high school market when I first started, because that's the market I knew. And so,
mm-hmm.
yes, I was hungry because I wasn't eating. And if you're not eating,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be hungry, so you're going to put on more presentations, and your fee isn't
mm-hmm.
that high.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the years went on and I started learning about how to actually operate a business, and then I wasn't speaking 150 times a year. I don't need to speak that much. I speak probably about 40 to 50 times a year right now. I
mm-hmm.
love speaking, but I love playing golf more.
Right. And so what you have learned to do is to stop working hard and work smart.
Well, I use sponsors now. One of my sponsors
mm-hmm.
in the high school market is the United States Army. I learned that
yes.
when I speak in a high school at an assembly program, that the Army can't go into a high school and do an assembly. They can go in and do career days. They can go into an individual classroom. And so when I hooked onto the Army, I told them, look, I can do an assembly program, have your booth in the back with my books, Speaking to Excel, and that way you can have access to everybody in that assembly program. But you have to, number one, pay for the books and pay for a fee. Now, are they willing to do that? All you have to do is go to your local recruiters and talk to them about trying to set up a sponsor so that they can go into your assembly programs and you can still make money. So they're one of my biggest sponsors right now. And all I have to do is say, I'm going to be in Cleveland or I'm going to be in L.A. I'm going to do maybe 5 high schools, and here's the fee that I'm going to need. So they already know.
You know your sister wrote that one down quickly.
And that's good. That's what I
you know something,
know.
James?
Huh?
I've been wanting to ask you this question a long time, and I am so happy I'm getting my opportunity to do that this morning. You have several websites.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when I go on that website, I don't see a lot of those flashy things. I don't see any videos and all of that stuff. Yet, you are one of the world's most prominent speakers. How do you do it, and why don't you have like the videos up like everybody else is doing? Tell us why, please.
No, I used to have the videos. I used to have the schedules to tell everybody where I was going, and you know, then I figured it out. That's nothing but an ego trip for me. And the videos, depending on how you do your demo video, which could be, you know, 6 to 8 minutes long. That could pigeonhole me into, let's say, diversity or the team building, but it just depends on
mm-hmm.
how you do your video. So I said, let's take
mm-hmm.
all of that off of there, and I think some of my stuff is even outdated. I don't even keep track of what's going on the website.
Mm-hmm.
98% of my business comes from repeat business, comes from referrals and relationships. Most of the time,
mm-hmm.
people aren't even going to my website. So I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people say you have to have a website. You got to, because that's how you're going to market yourself. That's all well and good for some people. Everybody can't do the same thing. So my
mm-hmm.
thing is, People don't even go to my website to really see what I do in order to hire me. They get it from somebody else.
That's
and
right.
So if 98% of my business is coming through referral-based and relationships, why should I do everything on the website? So the only
That's
reason
true.
The website is there is just for basic information for somebody to look. But we've been blessed in that 98% of our business comes from referrals and relationships. But that's what we talk about. Like your guest tomorrow, George Frazier, and in his book, Success Runs in Our Race, it is about
relationships. Yeah, and Click. He has a new one, Click.
Yep. Everything is about relationships. Now, he concentrates in the black arena, but it's really relationships, period. And George Frazier will tell you that if you build a relationship with a black person, you can build a relationship with a white person, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. It's about the relationship, and that's how we've gotten along for the last maybe 8 to 10 years on our business.
Because you know something? I remember as a child growing up, I always hear my parents say, "Oh well, it's who you know." But I've come to realize now it's not who I know, but it's who knows me and what they know about me.
Exactly right.
It's the importance of my relationships, and this is why I am diligently about adding value and serving others. When I meet someone, I want to know how can I serve you and how can I add value to the things that you are doing.
Right.
And when I start doing that for you, you are going to see what qualities I come with. You learn more about me, and in turn, you can refer me to others. Because you have developed a relationship with me and you know what I am about.
Exactly right. And that's the power of a relationship. I don't have to worry, and I don't have to just talk to other speakers. I refuse to do that because most speakers are going to lie to me anyway. When I started out with the National Speakers Association, which is a good organization, but when I started with them and I was talking to other speakers, most of them were lying about what they were doing. You know, they talk about how to make $10,000 and $15,000 per presentation. And then come to find out, you know, in the beginning, when I started in 93, come to find out they were struggling worse than I was. But they're trying to lift themselves on the pedestal. I'm like, well, let me get out of here and let me try to go to work.
You know something, James, I was saying to a colleague last week, you know, I said, listen, I'm no longer going to meetings and I'm no longer joining anything that's not adding value to me or not what I'm not adding value. And that was the same thing I said. I said, people are not honest. They hype things up, and they don't think they can tell you the truth, and they can be real. And when they hype things up, now a person with low self-esteem starts thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I measure up? And I said, no, I don't want to be part of that mess anymore.
Right.
Jeez.
We don't have to be.
Go ahead.
About business. And then once we learned about business, then it's plugging in the relationships. And once you plug in those relationships, then you'll be surprised at what comes to you. The United States Army, I didn't go and seek them out, but I happened to be in the place where they were doing, they have this All-American Bowl, the United States Army All-American Bowl. And my coach, Coach Boone, it just happens that the trophy is named after him. But I happened to be in a high school, and they called me to go to this high school because they were inducting one of the football players into the All-American Bowl. So they do this big ceremony around the country when anybody gets inducted into this All-American Bowl. And just so happens, you know, the Army was there, and they were talking, and they wanted me to speak before the Army came up and inducted this guy into the All-American Bowl. And that's how the Army stuff came about, was because a principal called me and said they're having this ceremony, and they wanted me to come and speak before the ceremony. And thus, the Army started talking about assembly programs, and that's you know, we wrote the proposal, gave it to them, and started with the Army.
See, he could effectively sell you because he knew who you were, the quality of what you did, and the impact it would have had. And this is why when we get the opportunity to be in the presence of someone, know, carve what you're going to tell them and follow. Your word is all you have.
Right.
So when you commit to doing something, do what you say you're going to do.
And that's your accountability issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be where you're going to be, do what you say you're going to do, and make sure you improve upon yourself. Most people forget that when they're doing business, they have to improve themselves. You know, they need to have a mentor. I mean, I've got two,
three
mentors.
I was going to ask you that question. You know, who are some of your role models, and if you have a mentor?
Yeah, and my mentors, you know, everybody can't be a mentor, and you can't tell everybody what you're doing because everybody doesn't want to hear it. And so there's only like three people who I really talk to, and that's Harvey Austin because it's about business, George Henderson, who started me on this track, and a guy by the name of Reggie Moore, who runs some technical schools out in California and Chicago. And those are the only three people, and really Reggie Moore is probably the one I mostly talk to about where I'm going and what I want to do. So I'll bounce things off of him. Because the people I play golf with, you know, there's a lot of judges and attorneys and business people we play golf with. That's all well and fine, but you can't tell everybody what you're trying to do.
Nope, because everybody's not ready for it.
No.
Neither, you know, they might want to socialize with you and have lunch with you and all of that, but they're not looking for you to climb up on that pedestal. So you have to know. And not, as you rightfully say, not everybody can be a mentor, because
right.
A mentor is someone who will allow you to stretch way beyond your expectation. So, you know, one of the things I've noticed, James, is that there are people who are looking for mentor in their friends. And
right.
To me, that's a no-no.
You're right.
Because your friends and your family members are going to enable you to lose and to fail. Because they're in their comfort zone. They're not going to challenge you to excel and to stretch and to expand. So, in your circles, and one of the other thing I hear, I think, is Robert Kiyosaki said, is that mentors will find you because they want to challenge you. So most times a mentor is the one going to find you. What they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Right.
So if you set yourself up that way, then you won't have to go look for them. They'll find you.
Yeah, and it just depends on what you want to bounce off of. And I call it really, it's a trust. Who do I trust that will listen to me and then just give me one or two brief comments on what I'm talking about? That's all I really need, because what they're listening to, you can't talk to everybody about, because it's about where your business is going. And sometimes it might just be an individual you're having a challenge with. How do you go around them? How do you go through them? What is it that you need from that individual that you're talking to on the phone or emailing? And you have to have constant communication with them. It might just be once a month, but that's every month they know they're going to hear from me because there's always something going on. But that's the good part of life. My thing is, you know, we have to have fun doing this thing. When we first started off, I mean, we were working so hard, we weren't having fun because we were working. It was almost like, do you really have a 9-to-5 or are you running your own business?
Your own business.
I want to have a 9-to-5. I want to have fun doing what I'm doing. So in order to have fun, I've got to do the things that are in my talent level, my abilities, and the skills that I have. And that's what we're doing.
We have a caller, James. I think we have a caller. Would you please hold the line?
Sure.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Good morning, caller. Caller from 972-546-0840, you're on the air.
Damn.
Okay. Hello? Are you there, caller? Oh, well, I guess they'll be back, James.
That's fine.
Okay. We have 25 minutes remaining. And I know that the brother operates a multi-million dollar business. How does it feel?
You know, it's every day is something different. You know, we get calls from the different subsidiaries that we run. So every day is something different, and there's always a challenge, whether it's with a contract or a proposal or an individual. But that's the kinds of things that we love, because the people who are working those businesses for us, they're the ones who are working the 9-to-5. So they have those challenges they have to deal with. So when it comes to me and trying to help with a challenge, I come from a different perspective that they're coming from. So
mm-hmm.
it's good for them, and it's also good for me. But my thing with all of my businesses is they have, even though they're working the 9-to-5s, and nobody really works 9-to-5, but they get a piece of everything that we do as long as they're doing their job. So it's not about the
right.
bonus.
Right, it's like share ownership.
Yeah, we don't believe in bonuses. It's, you know, if you're going to do your job, do your job. And if you do your job and we're creating revenue and we're creating profits, then you should get a percentage of those profits. So you've got
exactly.
to think like an entrepreneur, even though you're working every day. And if you think like an entrepreneur and we're creating profits, then you get a piece of that. And most
that's
businesses,
right.
won't
and that's,
that. Businesses won't do that.
This is why a lot of supervisors and managers cannot get effective team players because they treat them as subordinates instead of showing them, hey, you are a part of this and you are an owner. So people will have interest and want to do their best. I think we have a caller again. Would you hold, please?
Sure.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. Is this Brian?
No, this is Dwayne Owens.
Oh, oh well, hello, Mr.
Hey.
Dwayne. Oh, James. Oh, well, thank you.
A while ago, I guess my line dropped, but I just kind of tapped in on the last statement that that James was making. I absolutely
yeah.
agree with what James is saying. You know, part of your purpose and calling in life is knowing what your talent is and absolutely
mm-hmm.
utilizing that to bless other people. And I got to
yes.
say, James was very instrumental in helping me come to terms with that way back in the mid-90s when I first wanted to become a speaker. How you doing, James?
Man, it's so good to hear your voice, man. Now, we talk about relationships. This guy had me over his house in Texas, met his wife, understand where he's coming from. I mean, and he wrote a book on purpose. He knows what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I love about it. He knows what he's doing. Man,
well, James,
in.
James, I've been trying for how many weeks to get him to send me an email and a phone call, so I'm just so thankful that you brought him out today.
That is a guy. He's doing
what a blessing.
When are you coming back to Texas, James?
I'm actually coming there for a showcase for with 5-star speakers and trainers in Dallas, as a matter of fact. I think I'll be coming in June the 1st through probably the 4th.
Okay, make sure
you
contact me before you come.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, we definitely got to get together while you're here.
Man, now this is a guy that's out here doing it, Daphne. The queen, he's out there doing it.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Well, Dwayne, before you run off, if you would have one question for James, I don't know how updated you are about his operations and all the marvelous things he's been doing. He's operating a multi-million dollar business as we speak. If you would ask him one question pertaining to that aspect of his growth, what would it be?
I think that's a great question, and congratulations, James. I always knew that you were going to be doing great things, and so I'm not surprised at where you're at. I guess if I had a question regarding that, James, how would you maintain laser focus in your business when you may have so many other opportunities or temptations that may actually take you outside of what your core focus is, even though they may seem like good opportunities? How do you know what opportunities you should not allow yourself to get involved in and just stay focused to the core of what you do?
Well, if I can't play golf on Tuesday and Thursday, then it's getting too hectic.
Here it is.
Keeping it real, Dwayne.
James told me years ago, he said, look, man, I don't want to work too hard. If I got to work, I'm not going to have fun anymore.
Exactly right.
Right.
And that's the thing now is, you know, with subsidiaries that we're running, I can't do anything else, and I'm not trying to do anything else. because I love the game of golf. So, you know, I'm playing a lot of golf, and I don't want to get out there and do a whole lot more other stuff. So I know that I've got all I can take on right now, and it's within my talents and skills and my abilities. So there are still opportunities that are always coming in. When the real estate stuff came in last year and we started talking, and we had a couple of partners that were looking at it and they wanted to bring me in, it was a good time to do it. And I figured if they're going to run the business, of course I need to know the financing of it and how we're actually operating it and so forth. But it was a good opportunity for us, and we can handle that because I'm not in the day-to-day operations. So it was a good connection for us, and it was a good addition to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the right time. But that's pretty much it for me. But, you know, when we first started, Dwayne, in 93, 94, 95, it was like anything that came up, we were trying to get into.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
we didn't know. All we were trying to do was speak.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking became people who were doing other things, and we're like, man, we want to do that too. Because we were just trying to make money, man, and trying to get by.
Yeah.
And now, you know, as we mature and as we look at business and running the business, it's not about trying to get by anymore. It's really trying to manage our time and look at what do we really want to do.
Exactly.
My kids are grown. My daughter's in the Air Force. My son, matter of fact, is down in Houston and running a real estate company. So it's only me and the wife who's at home. So it's like, what else, you know, what else do we need? We don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's playtime. But if we're in that growth mode, and if we're in that growth mode, we have to look at all the opportunities one-on-one and really try to say, is this what we really want in our business, and do I have the time to do it? Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of time.
Absolutely.
James, James, you know what I just pick out of the answer you gave us?
Yes.
Is that you came to a realization that you need to have your money work for you instead of you working for the money.
Yeah, you're right about
and
that.
And I think this is what catapults your success to where you are today. And that's what we need all as business owners. This is what we all need to start doing.
And it's nothing that, Dwayne and Queen, it's nothing hard about what we're doing out here. And I've stayed under the radar because we want to stay under the radar. But the money that we're making always goes back into something that we love, whether it's my institute, the Entrepreneurship and Leadership Institute that's going back to making sure the kids are going to college and so forth, or they're starting their businesses and making money so they can pay for their own college and so on. But it's stuff that we love now. And so it's just, I mean, it's, I guess we're just in a different place right now where we're not scrounging and trying to scratch stuff. But when we started, Dwayne, you know, man, we were going after everything.
Yeah, we were. And what I've learned over the years, it's about creating a lifestyle, and this business affords us the opportunity to do that. It helps us to really prioritize the things that are very important. I'm so blessed that I get to spend so much time at home with my wife. You know, I can pick and choose engagements where I can get paid or not get paid, but it's having that control, it's having that power. To be able to have the liberty to do the things that are important to you. And
but when you had
you're a slave
you
to
had
the
that focus,
you're not able to fulfill those things.
But, Dwayne, when you had that focus, when you knew that you wanted to write a book and you said, I want to write a book on purpose, and you wrote that book on purpose, there were some steps that you went through, and you wasn't going to let anything else come in between those steps in order for you to get that book published. And so that's that same kind of razor edge that we need when we're doing other things. And so you began to understand what it takes in order to complete something that's going to be good for you and good for the people who are around you. And thus, you know, you have book. You have your book.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Before I wrote the book, James, I didn't know anything about publishing, didn't know one author out there. So I had to get the education all on my own to learn how to go through the process, and just had laser focus. I mean, I had to sacrifice times to do other things that I normally do in order to write that book. It took me about a year to write it, about an hour Monday through Friday, sitting down, writing the book, putting it together, getting it edited and whatnot. But you were right, man. There was nothing that was going to stop me. It was destiny. It was inevitable. I had to do that.
You're right. And it's like, you know, there's an old quote that most people want to improve themselves, but not too many are willing to work at it. You were willing to work at improving what you do in order for the general public to have a better understanding on what purpose is about. and what life is about. And that's what it is. We have to change sometimes in order to move forward. Otherwise,
what they say, no pain, no gain, because a lot of people are not looking for microwave results. Everybody wants it now. And no one is looking to pay the price.
Exactly.
Well,
right. We
Duane, it was just a pleasure to have you on, and we have 14 minutes remaining, James. So I'm sorry?
No, I definitely appreciate Duane calling in. That's a good man out there in that Texas area.
Yeah, it was such a blessing, you know. He and I reconnected on speaker site. He said, I was just here. He sent me an email saying, I was just here cussing speaker site out, and I flip one more page, and here you are. So I guess it's good. So, you know, it's way back when. He's a good person, and I'm looking to have him on the show as well. So, James, if you would give the listeners a checklist, if you may, to really manage their accountability and their growth and their success, what would that checklist look like?
Well, if it's going to be running a business, then they need to understand how to run a business. If I were individuals now who have a small business, I would go to their closest library and look at the SBA, and they have something called SCORE, which are retired executives.
Mm-hmm.
Those retired executives are doing nothing but trying to help people to increase their business profits and understand what business is about and how to really organize their business. Go there, understand what it's about, understand what business is about, get your marketing plan, understand who you're going to go after so that you can move forward. Nobody's going to give you anything out here. You can't wait at home and pray that God's going to give you something when you're not getting up off your knees. So get up off
your
knees, you pray. Go in there and understand what business is about. Once you do that, then understand what your talents are. If you understand what your talents and skills and abilities are, then you can use those talents, skills, and abilities to create a comfortable life for you. But if you don't, if you're trying to live somebody else's life, if you're a speaker out here trying to be Les Brown or Willie Jolly, which I'm going to be honest, in the beginning, I was trying to be Willie Jolly or Les Brown because that's all we knew.
Right.
We heard them, and that's all we knew. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to do quotes like Les Brown, and then it was Willie Jolly who pulled me aside.
Tony Robbins.
Be yourself.
I'm Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah, and if you be yourself, then you have your own stories that you can use, your own quotes you can use. You have your own challenges that you can talk to people about. And that's what I had to learn within those first 3 years was I've got to be me. And so, you
exactly,
know,
exactly, because we all have our stories.
Yeah, we do, but most people don't want to let people know what their stories are because they're always trying to tell people how they should live their life. How are you going to tell me how to live my life when I don't really understand how you lived yours?
Exactly.
Talk to me about what you went through, and that's what we talk to the young people about all the time, about what we went through, number one, so they don't have to go through the same kind of stuff, and number two, so they can learn from it and move on so they know what they need to do with their skills and talents and abilities. Nobody's teaching skills, talents, and abilities. Find out what they
exactly
are. We have to figure out what our strengths are. If they understand what their strengths are, you won't have to worry about what your weaknesses are. People always say, well, let's work on your weaknesses and your strengths.
Oh, please.
My weaknesses are? Let me work on my strengths. So
that's
if I work
right
on my strengths, I don't have to worry about my weaknesses. My weakness was
because
school. I had boring
your teeth. Your strength will erase those. Because what you give focus to is what is going to stick with you. So why should you give focus and energy to weaknesses when that's what you don't need?
Exactly right. There's a quote in the book that soar with your strengths. It says, do not try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. They don't want to
mm-hmm
sing. But if
that's
we have
right
a singer
that's
who
right
can sing, and that's why I tell our young people, you know, they always want to try to get into my studio. If you can sing, then let's work on it. But you can't do it for free. Most of us,
that's
especially
right
in the black arena, we're always giving away our talents. And Duane, don't
oh,
we
Lord, yes
give away our
achievements? Yeah, you
that's
have to
right
understand your value, James. And I think a lot of the folks that do that, they do not understand their value.
Right.
And so they're uncomfortable asking for something of value, asking for a fee or some any type of monetary compensation for the services that provide. You have to know who you are and the value of what you give to people. And then you have a boldness to ask for what you deserve.
Exactly right. I
mean, and if you don't put a value on yourself, how can you expect anyone else to do that?
Yep.
You have to hold yourself in high esteem in order for people to respect and value your time and your craft.
And we're always giving it away.
Yes.
Yeah, because we think we are not worth it.
No, we had to learn. I mean, white people in their environment, they're not giving away their talents. If somebody says, I want you to rewrite my bio, and they say, okay, it's going to cost you $150, or they're going to take $150 an hour, you're going to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's
and then,
right.
You know, we go to a black person, why don't you do this, and, you know, I'll get you on the back end once I get your case. No, pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're an expert
That's
in writing.
Right.
Pay for it. They should get paid for it.
That's
right.
Exactly. And you should pay them the same amount or more than you pay other folks. James, you know what I just realized?
What's that?
We've been here talking so much, we have not told anybody how to get in touch with you. Not that you need it, but we're still going to give them the opportunity.
Yeah, that's fine.
So long as it's not on a golf day.
On the golf course.
Before you do that, I have to tell you, there are some small groups at my church. And a couple of years, there was this young man there who was teaching golf. So I went to golf and I said, Coach, I don't really want to learn a lot. I just need to learn enough so I can close a couple of contracts out on the golf course. He cracked out laughing because I told him that a lot of the big deals are made, and that's what I want to learn to do.
Yeah,
but we have 8 minutes remaining. Please just tell people how to reach out to you, James.
Well, they can either call 954-442-5200. Probably the best way is through the email at A-M as in Michelle, P as in Papa, S as in Sam, C-O-M-M, or Michelle at gmail.com. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me is through the email.
All right. Okay. Well, you have 4 minutes, 4 minutes remaining. How would you like to close?
Well, my motto is if you want something that you've never had, you've got to go do something that you've never done. So in order for us to be able to challenge ourselves, we've got to go out and do some things that we haven't done before so that we can become more challenged in our lives. If you don't, then you stagnate yourself and you become stale. So go look for opportunities that are out here that you've never thought of before. And once you do that, I'm almost guaranteeing you that the universe is going to come in line with you and things will change in your life and new people will become a part of your life. John Amos said, you either change or you stagnate. You either leap forward or you fall backward. You cannot stay where you are today unless you decide to do that. And if you decide to do that, then don't do anything. Stay where you are. Get what you're getting.
Right. That's right.
We're moving forward, and the only reason why we're moving forward is because we have people like you, Queen, and people like Dwayne Owens out there in Texas who are always there for us and who can tell us when we're not doing the right thing. And that's what I love about you two is that, you know, you always tell us if we're not doing something right. But when you do say that,
yes,
you always tell us what to do and the
yes,
right thing. And that's important
yes,
in somebody's life like mine.
You know, and I know when I say this, I don't really have to say it for Dwayne. He can say it for himself. But you have been such a beacon of light in my life, James, and you know, you always encourage me, you always embrace me, and you are consistent with your message. And I want to thank you for that. For times I remember way back when I wasn't sure, I wasn't yet focused on where I needed to be, but you are always there to give me that gentle, loving nudge to tell me where to go. And I appreciate you, and I love you, my brother, for doing that. And
you too. And I'm,
Dwayne,
I'm,
do you want to say? Go
I'm
ahead.
I'm proud of you, though, Queen, because you are doing the things that you love, and you stayed focused. You talked about a radio show. Here it is. You talked about a TV show. There it is. You talked about moving
yes,
your life forward. Here you are. Great job by you.
Thanks.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what you said, Queen, James is pretty good at giving us accolades, but I tell you what, he's really been a model and mentor for me from the beginning. I've been so impressed with who he is away from the platform, just his love, his ability to reach out to people and keep things real. I mean, he just blown me away with his spirit of giving. He was the very first one to buy my book before it actually came out. Just his willingness to share information about the speaking business, the giving of himself, it's just awesome. Me and my wife are definitely remain in awe of him. He's a great friend, but just everything that you've acquired and success, James, you absolutely deserve it, man.
Hey, man, you tell the wife, tell D I said hello, man. We send our love.
She's over here waving. You just can't see her.
James, please. I forgot to tell you.
Uh-huh.
A couple months ago, I went for a meeting up in Hartford with a gentleman by the name of Jerry Long. I don't know if you recall that name.
No, not really.
A friend of ours just moved down to Florida, one I sent you, Harland. And then I said, I just sent Harland an email to hook him up with my friend James Ams. He said, where I know that name from? Oh, I remember way back when I went to an event and I bought his book. But he remembered who you were.
Yeah.
And your name stuck with him. And he said, that's an awesome brother. I said, yes, he is.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Huh?
But I'm
it
tell
is
you
so
something.
True that we don't ever get a second chance to make a first impression. And you have
right.
made many first impressions on all of us, hundreds of people. We just want to thank you for your commitment and dedication to holding us accountable for who we are.
I think it's the best that we have Dwayne here. I think that it was made to be that he was here today. I haven't heard from the brother in a little bit, but we usually stay in touch once in a while. But it's definitely a blessing to have him here. And you're also going to have a great guest on, Brian Franklin, who's coming up next, and that's a dynamic.
Brian is coming up next. Yes, that's another awesome brother. You know, I am just so surrounded with all these wonderful men. But I want you all to keep your eyes open so that I could get one of my own.
Girl, that's what I'm talking about. You got to go after it, baby. That's what you're doing.
Oh, my God. Well, it was such a joy. To spend time with you and, you know, Dwayne, thanks for coming. And that new email you sent me still did not work, and I want to talk with you because with your focus and purpose, Dwayne, I think I probably need to have you on the 29th
when I
have Dr. Miles Monroe on.
Dwayne
that
needs
would be,
to be
on. That would be an honor.
He needs to be on there, Queen.
So, yeah, so, you know, connect with me. Let's work that out.
We will do that.
Because I think I'm going to have a panel on because there are a lot of different people out there who is doing the purpose thing. And with Dr. Monroe, the father of purpose, on that day, I think that's a good day for to get a couple of you other people on.
Okay.
So let's connect and make it happen. And thank you again. And Brother James, we're going to have you back on.
No problem. We can talk offline, too, because I love the things
yes.
that you do. Yes.
Yeah, so I'll follow up with you later on.
Okay.
And you have a blessed day and continue doing God's work.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, too.
All right, now. Talk to you
all
later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was the amazing Mr. James Ams III. Just sharing some of his knowledge with us, and it was just an amazing, amazing, amazing show. And we are waiting for Mr. Brian Franklin to come on, and Brian is the CEO and founder of One Eye Mall, and Brian is going to share his information with us. Good morning, Mr. Franklin. Hello, Brian.
You hear me?
Hello, Brian. Hello.
I hear you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well on the West Coast. And how are you on the East?
Oh, well, we are having a beautiful spring day. And it was amazing because I don't know whether or not you were listening, but I just got finished with James Ames, who shared a wealth of information for us. And you two are such a dynamite duo. And I just want to thank you for coming on because I know that, you know, out in the West Coast, it's a different time and all of that, but you're still blessing us, Brian. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to serve and share insight about what we do and what you do and what we can do as a collective. As you know, I spend much of my time and energy on working on collaborative efforts. So I thank you. And I was listening to James and enjoyed it. And there was some technical issues going on there. It clicked over to Talia's. But I enjoyed everything I was listening to.
Yes, well, you know, thank you so much, so much. Brian, you and I met maybe 8 or something years ago. I know we met at the Power Networking Conference. And, you know, you are one of the people in my life that has added so much value, and you are consistent with the things you do. You keep us fresh. You keep us well informed. Now, I would like for you to please just tell the listeners a little bit about who Brian Franklin is and why is he so committed and devoted to the things he does, more so about collaborations.
Well, I am blessed to be a visionary, and that was confirmed for me in 1973 at 11 years old. I talked about being an entrepreneur, born and raised in what we call the hood, one of the, I'll call it, impoverished areas, the worst areas of Los Angeles, which is called Watts, and I had the opportunity and the pleasure of being raised by a single mom who said to her three boys that they could be whatever they wanted to be without limits. And so it instilled in me as well as my brothers to just be different. We were not swayed by peer pressure living in an area where there was lots of issues. Crime was pretty high in our area. But my brothers and I, we always knew when our friends would go left, we knew when to go right. And so I'm one who, at a very young age, just thought outside of the box and didn't accept things for the way they were. I always ask a very important question, Daphne, and that question is why? Why? Ask why. And I talk, and I work with students, I talk about stifling the baby's growth by frequently when a child is asking questions. Many parents will ask that child, hey, just be quiet. And they're stifling their growth because many children are curious. And I was one of those curious children. And I always talked about being an attorney or doing something with my hands as I was a youngster. My mother and my grandmother said, it's your hands is something that you should do. And so my background is in the technology. And I got into the computer industry in around 1983, and the personal computer was introduced in about 1982. And then as I moved forward from, again, being that child, being someone who was looking, just doing things differently and using my hands, I became conscious about people of African descent in around 1998 and started looking at some of the issues affecting us. And as most of us know, from an African-American perspective, working together is one of our, I'll call it, we have a challenge with working together. And so as I move forward, I
two bigger egos.
Is that what it is?
I think it's too big of egos because no, most people don't want to be humble enough to learn from somebody who is smarter than us. Everybody's ego got to be up front, butting heads, you know?
Yes. Yes, and so as I move forward to what I do today is I do cooperative economic strategies using the internet as the vehicle to create wealth. And our focus is within the African-American community first and then for all humanity because we find in conclusion that the problems in our community, the problems in the world are socioeconomic, and there's a lot of wonderful social work going on. However, the economic disparity unfortunately cancels out much of the social work. And so our focus is, again, economic strategy cooperatively using the internet as the vehicle. So, again, thank you so much for allowing me to share that information via the
thank you so much, Brian, for taking thank you for taking the time to educate us on this. Now, would you please go into the systems that you have that allows us to tap into cooperative economics and, you know, what skills are necessary, if any?
Well, what skills are necessary is suppressing the selfish gene. And what I mean by that is individualism is one of the worst deterrents to cooperatives, and as you talked about the ego, which is edging God out, you must be open to say, understand that if there's a large ship on the ocean and a little small boat, when the tide comes in, both of those boats will rise. And so you understand that it allows for the possibilities of cooperative economics. And we have two causes that we are very excited about. We have a faith-based initiative. We also have an education-based initiative. And let me start with the education-based initiative. As you may know, in the underserved communities and urban communities, the dropout rates are on average 50-plus percent throughout the nation. And, and part of the reason is the students are not being taught the way they want to learn. Many of the teachers and the curriculum is the same curriculum that I was being taught when I was in elementary school. And I'm 47 years old. And we're now in new media, and the children are in this, let's call it a microwave mentality, and they cannot equate to some of the teaching methods because they I spoke recently at a Gifted Children's Association luncheon as a keynote. I was a gifted child. I always say I'm not sure what happened to me as I got older. However, there were 64 I hope and pray I am. However, there were 64 gifted teachers who were teaching the elite students. And I asked those 64 those teachers, how many of you text anything to your students? And of the 64, only 4 of them text anything, okay, at all, actually.
Wow.
And if you know anything about the teenagers, the one thing they are doing an excessive amount of is texting. And so with that go ahead.
No, I was saying they are moving with the trend. They are updating themselves and keeping themselves abreast of the improved technologies. And you would think the teachers would utilize that.
Well, unfortunately, I spend lots of time in the schools, and they're not, but I'm helping them to recognize that they want to engage the student where they are also. And so what we do is, with our education initiative, we do our research and doing a lot of reading. We found that poverty alone puts a student at risk for dropping out of school, okay? Just poverty, there's all kinds of contributing factors. And so by infusing cash incentives, by paying the student to stay in school, when I go into school and I ask the student, if I paid you to stay in school, would you stay? They actually say H-E double toothpicks, yes. If you know what I'm talking about, they get it is the most common response. And so our motto is over 50% of students MySpace page or know someone who does, okay? And
mm-hmm.
when they go to their MySpace, they basically, I say, become virtual zombies. They sit there, look at pictures. They really don't do much. And MySpace's
right.
revenue model is the ad at the top of the page. Every single MySpace page, as you know, has the ad. And so we have
mm-hmm.
the students add our banner to their MySpace page. Every 60 of their friends, we give them $100. And the students just get so excited about that, and we tie it in with, but the key here is we want you to be excited not only about that $100, but also excited about school, because your first job is staying and completing school. And so it's called Project First Job. So that's our education-based initiative. So that brings revenue to the schools as well as to the students. And it's rolling out in California, Connecticut also, by the way, and in New York. And Connecticut is at what is the name of the school in Connecticut? Oh, Wilbercross High School in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, Hartford.
Yeah.
Wilbercross at Hartford.
Yes.
We have to get you over in Bridgeport and New Haven, and Danbury High School is one of the largest here in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're,
so we gonna have to talk about that.
By all means. So that's our our education-based initiative, and using the internet and, again, cooperative economics to put money back into the students and the school districts, because, as you may know, the school districts are having some major financial challenges nationwide. And so here's a way
mm-hmm.
of using e-commerce to fund change within the education system. And then
connect you here with the superintendent here.
Oh, please. Thank you so much. I would appreciate that. And then lastly, our faith-based initiative. We recognize that the church is such a powerful place. However, as the economy and the world is having financial issues, so too is the church. And if a church member has problems paying their mortgage, most churches cannot actually help that member. And so what we're doing with the churches, we've hired Les Brown as our national spokesperson, and we're going to the largest churches in the country. And, again, starting with African-American churches first. Why African-American first? One, because I'm African-American. I believe charity should begin at home. So we're doing that first, and then we're going multicultural also. And here's the whole premise here. There's over 65,000 African-American churches in the country. Many of these churches have websites. And most of them are not using their websites as an economic tool. And so our goal through our one internet mall is having all of the churches, that would be our goal, direct their members to our one internet mall for when they're going to buy things on the internet, which would generate hundreds of millions of dollars so that when their members may have an issue with paying their mortgages, the church actually has the ability to buy the house, allow the member to stay in the house, and rent the house from the church, creating wealth within the faith-based community. The richest religious organization in the world is the Catholic Church, and their riches and wealth is based on real estate. So that's kind of the two things that we do. That's all based on e-commerce and collective efforts working together to create solutions to problems.
I know, Brian, how are you getting this information out, basically through networking, or how? How are the churches gaining access to this information?
Well, thanks to the internet, getting information out virally is pretty easy today. But we also have some very powerful media partnerships. One of our relationships out of Chicago is with a gentleman by the name of Abe Thompson. I'm giving my prayers for Abe. He's been pretty ill recently. But Abe is responsible for hiring Tom Joyner into the radio industry at WGCI in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And on the West Coast, we have several newspapers who are connected with us. And so it flourishes quite nicely with our Project First Job. As you know, the students live on the internet and in MySpace.
Oh, yes.
As well as texting. So they spread it because it's based on referrals, or by referring others and forwarding emails the information gets out pretty readily through just viral networks. And we also do some standard advertising, but standard advertising is the least way of getting our message out because of the social networks. It allows you to get things out quite nicely without having to do what we call the conventional way of getting the words out.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like especially about the program for the teenagers? A lot of teenagers are going after menial jobs, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but they're looking to work in the retail stores at McDonald's and so on. And if they focus on this program, they can use that time to study, to improve their academics, because they can use their MySpace page to pull in a lot more income than they would have gotten at those jobs that they're taking up.
Well, you know, interestingly, Les Brown's son is a motivational rapper, and his name is...
Little Les.
Yes, we commissioned him to do a song for us, and we just gave him, hey, project first job, make sure that's in there, and then do your thing. And as you just mentioned, he talks about in the song, you don't have to flip burgers. You can actually do something else. So it's like, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I don't know if there's enough trends on most of the MySpace pages to offset having some other consistent income, but what it's designed to do is to just inspire them, just like when I was growing up, and probably you also, someone in our family frequently will give us some cash incentives for good grades, okay? To get an A, we'll give you some money. And so it's kind of using that same old adage of giving an incentive. However, ours is not based on just academics, but it is a way that they can use this space. I don't know if you know this, Daphne, but over 240 million people have a MySpace page, so it's a huge phenomenon. And so there is a way to create some cash flow from that. And so currently, MySpace does not share revenue from their advertisement, and the uniqueness of our model is we do. And one of our goals, once we have 10,000 students connected, we want MySpace to collaborate with us with our revenue share model. And so that with them connecting with us, there's more money to share so that we can just keep this money flowing and create a social capitalistic environment. As you know, we're in some really tough times right now. It's not going to be just standard pure capitalism that's going to get us out of this. It's going to be some socialistic of helping others through, quote-unquote, sharing of revenue. So we're really excited about it. We can help some of those students buy books and things of that nature as they go forward in their education if they select that to be their choice.
Right. And I tell you, the $100 is an attractive amount. I mean, it sounds small, but it's enough to motivate them to increase their number of MySpace friends because they're going to tell others. So it will work. It will work. And so long as we can encourage as many of the high schools that we can to buy into that, so long as we can get the administrators to buy into that, then the students will also buy into that. So I am excited about that new venture, Brian.
Yes, thank you so much. But it's all connected to what we do with e-commerce. It's just another way of making it palatable for those who may not understand our one internet mall concept. It's just another movement and cause to also create change in our communities.
And I'm one of those people who is still a work in progress when it comes to the e-commerce. And, you've been so patient with me. I know I'm a work in progress, and I will get it, because there are a lot of ways in honing into our websites, the internet, in order to be creative and to be diversified in the things that we do. So I am still a work in progress where that is concerned. Would you also, Brian, I know you mentioned about the faith-based initiative and the initiative for the teenagers. But would you also mention, please, some of the other aspects of One Eye Mall for the listeners who are now on the line and want to get some additional income? Would you please explain how that works?
Yes. Well, first of all, we set a stage so people can really understand what OneEyeMall.com is all about and why. There are three search engines that are the dominant forces throughout the whole world, three. There are two bookstores that are the dominant forces throughout the world, and one auction site called eBay. And so if you really understand the Internet, there are only a few dominant forces. So we created over 10 years ago, and our model has become more clear to the average American that, he's got something there, because there are only a few dominant forces. And so our one Internet mall, we assert that there really only needs to be one, and you can own a piece of our one because, again, we do revenue sharing. And you mentioned about you and others who are in the space but maybe are, you know, in learning in process. The one thing that I try to get everyone who has a website that sells a product or service to understand is every site, whether the product or service sold, should have what's called an affiliate program to allow others to help promote what it is that you do, and so that you can be in an e-commerce portal like ours. And so for those who have websites, it's free to link to us, and we will gladly link to them, provided there is an affiliate or revenue sharing model attached to their website. What that affiliate model does is it allows others to connect with you, creating a continent-based website versus an island. 99%, Daphne, of websites that are out there, I call them islands, because there's no way for others to connect with them. So the first way is linking to us for free. There's no charge. We also pay when someone has others linked to us. Every 60 that link their actual website, a yourcompany.com, to us, we also pay for that $100 per month, not just the one time, for those who link to us with standard websites. And then for those who don't have websites and or web pages, there's a membership fee of $199. And we talk about the power of one. And what we mean by that is just have just one person follow your lead and join us for the $199. And that having one person in a year will outperform your bank by 5 to 10 times. Let me elaborate on that very quickly. If most people, Daphne, don't know how much money they're earning in their standard bank account. And so what we bring to their knowledge is the average person is earning 0.5 to best case 5%. And that's taking out fees, overdraft fees, check writing fees. So that's in a perfect world at the best case scenario, 5%. So $200 in a year, 5% is $10, okay? By having just one person join us and follow the lead, we pay a $50 referral fee. 50 versus 10. So I always say if you have $400 in your savings account, leave $200 in your savings account because you understand that. That you're comfortable with that. Take the other $200 and become a member, referred by Daphne, by the way, and they'll earn $50 when they have one person follow their lead. By doing that, what we do is we teach people how to earn money from the Internet collectively. They can share in the revenue from when everyone is shopping at one Internet mall. So in conclusion, to make it simple and clear, for those who have websites, we want them to link to us for free, no charge. Ask others to do likewise, to participate in one Internet mall. For those who don't have websites, $199 for life, money-back guarantee for one full year, and we're working on our membership deals, whereas our members, Daphne, can have household goods delivered to their door, no charge for shipping, matching the price of the big box stores. I won't even give those big box stores their names. But
they're not sponsoring us, so we're not going to do that.
Yes. So there you have it. So it's membership, and we share the revenue. It's all about revenue sharing, as you know, from when you and I met. It's about sharing the revenue by using one internet ball, getting others to connect with their website, and that's what we do. So that information is clearly stated via our frequently asked questions on our website also, which is we have a domain that points there, which is richpeopleread.com. We ask people to do some reading.
Richpeopleread.com.
Yes.
Okay, Brian, we have 35 minutes remaining. So why don't you go ahead and interject right here? How can people get in touch with the organization and all the information you think they need to have about contacting? Will you please go ahead and put that in?
Yes, I'm always, when I go on radio, TV, wherever I am, depending on who has invited me, it's not about contacting me. That really isn't my goal when I do radio and interviews. It's connecting with us is what my goal is.
Us.
And so in regards to that, if people are listening right now on Blog Talk Radio, they are on your screen. You have your website listed there, which is clarkhudson.com. And so when they go to clarkhudson.com, at, on the main navigation bar, they will see the shopping mall there clearly. When they click that, then they will see oneeyemall.com. Click in, connect with us. That's what's more important to me. It's not about me. It's about connecting with us. So that's what
us,
I prefer.
Us, as a people.
Yes, ma'am. So that's what I would prefer.
Well, thank you for that correction. Thank you for that correction because I know that we are in this together. So
yes,
it's not about
absolutely.
Just one person. Brian, the other thing I know you consistently teach is about network organizations. Because there's a lot of our people is so caught up in that web and, you know, they're really not going anywhere. They're looking for quick fixes, microwave results. Mm-hmm. And I know you have some insightful lessons around that to educate and inform our listeners.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. It's actually network marketing. I am considered by many one of the experts on the subject. I speak at universities on the subject, and we do debates at universities. And the debate that we do at the universities is entitled Multi-Level Marketing, an Opportunity or an Opportunity to be Scammed, okay? And we have four that's a good title, isn't it? But we have four participants, two that are pro-standard MLM, two that are anti-the-standard model, moderated by the professor of the business school. And I will share this. When we do the debate, it is imperative that we are respectful of everyone's opinion, and we do not do it angrily. It's just professionally done, and it's for information so that people get a clear understanding of what's really going on. Because, as you know, many people, thousands daily, and more than ever before, right now, Daphne, are joining home-based business to try to solve their financial troubles. And so what we do, I'll give you the quick version, and I'll share with you what I do to kind of bring clarity to the space. But each person of the four gets 10 minutes to talk about whatever they want to talk about. They can hand out whatever they want to, and people can ask them specific questions about anything for an entire 10 minutes. It's uninterrupted. They can talk about anything. When I get to my 10 minutes, I take approximately a minute and a half, and here's what I do, if I may. I ask everyone in the room to stand, Daphne. So I want you and your listeners to think for just a moment. Imagine 100 people in a room standing, and I'm going to ask them this question, and imagine yourself, Daphne, being in this room also, and your listeners. So listen to this question. If you know more than two people that you grew up with from elementary school junior high school or college, that's been involved in any standard multi-level marketing business opportunity, that's been able to earn over $100,000 annually and or retire, if you know more than two, please remain standing. If you do not, please be seated. Of the 100
seated.
People that were standing, Daphne, how many do you think are now seated?
All.
Yes, in most rooms, 100%. In all rooms, at least 99%. And so what I say with that is I'm not anti-relationship marketing. I'm not anti-direct sales. However, but I want you to understand that there's something wrong with that model and you haven't figured it out yet. And I'm here to share with you what's wrong with the model that best known as standard multi-level marketing. And the missing piece to the puzzle is an effective revenue sharing, whereas you have to have a large enough of the money that's shared to a decent number of people so that some of those people can actually stop working versus having that revolving door. And so we created a model 10 years ago that we have a name for it now. It's trademarked. It's called the 800 Club. And what the 800 Club is up to 800 entities sharing in revenue from what everyone does. Daphne, in conclusion, in regards to this little segment, do you know there's only two companies in the world that I know of that have created 800 or more millionaires through building out a vision, sustainable, and simultaneous? And those two companies that I know of are Microsoft, and the other one to have done it post-1994 via stock is Google. So when you understand that there's only a couple of companies who have ever done this, our model called the 800 Club is very viable, but we're doing something that has virtually never been done before. And hence, I call it the challenges of getting people to get it, because it's so foreign to actually, for people, especially people of African descent, to believe that they can actually be wealthy and can actually start working. And so our whole goal, I retired 10 years ago, as you may know, Daphne, and my whole energy is creating more wealthy people so that those wealthy people can actually reinvest back into their community to create change. So that's why we target the MLM market, not as a antagonist. It's just as to bring clarity to the marketplace.
Right, and this is why I was so excited in having James and yourself on today, because both your stories are so empowering to us all, and not only to people who are of African descent, but to any human being who is looking for a better way of life and a lifestyle. There's a lesson here for all of us. Brian, I want to ask you, you are an effective business owner right now from when I met you. And I want to just speak a little bit about your early years in business. And if you would say there were some lessons that you learned during the early years, what would some of those lessons be?
Well, I've actually learned that integrity, credibility, and dependability are like some of the pillars of success in business. And just being credible will help you as you go forward. Being dependable, when people can depend on you, like this morning, you send out an email to James now yesterday, which I appreciate. I'm sure James does also. But you also know that we're dependable. And so you knew we would be here and on time. And then, again, the being credible is just so important to me. And keeping your integrity in check, because sometimes things sometimes there are tough times. Right now, it's tough times for most people right now. And but if you have the integrity and you're credible and you're dependable, and you are steadfast and unmovable in whatever it is that you're doing, and you do some, let's call it, reality checks. as you go
check.
Forward. Just
yep.
confirm that you're on the right path. Your mm-hmm. success will not escape you forever. And then last but not least, in the last 10 years, I learned two unique lessons. I'm a investor. I invest in a lot of stuff. And over the last 10 years, I noticed that my investment strategy was out of whack. I would
mm-hmm.
invest over 90% in high risk, music industry, mm-hmm. Some super high tech. And so
mm-hmm.
I, over the last couple of years, I recognized with this our current economy, wow, my allocations of my investments are way out of whack. So I've made some changes where in the future, only 10% of my investments will be in high risk, 60%
mm-hmm.
in low risk, 30% in medium. And last but not least, I learned that we were involved and we filed a lawsuit for defamation, which was a viable claim that we made regarding the engineer who chose to defame me. And I learned
mm-hmm.
from that experience that when you have a problem with someone you know, don't litigate, mediate. Because when
mm-hmm.
you litigate with someone you know, you're going to typically diminish that relationship, and you're going
yes.
to make the you're going to make those attorneys wealthy or rich. And
mm-hmm.
When you mediate, you get a third party in, and you talk about the concerns that you have, and you come up with an agreement, and you move forward. So, you know, so there's a lesson from old, and then the newest lessons is those two things: investment strategy, be cautious about investing in that quote unquote high
mm-hmm.
risk, too much of your cash. That's part of why
mm-hmm.
we're in this economy right now. And
mm-hmm.
mediation versus litigation. Those are the most two recent
yeah, because
lessons I learned.
With mediation, the relationship will be able to resolve it regardless of what happened. But when you go the litigation route, forget it. And that relationship oftentimes is going to be taking other relationships with it. Because they got to find somebody else who was supporting you to say all the things you do. And a lot of times they're really not telling the full story, but it's still going to impact that other relationship. So thank you for sharing that, Brian. We have 23. We have 21 minutes remaining here. What are some other lessons or insight you would like to pass on to the listeners?
Well, as you know, Daphne, I consider myself to be a poster child for collaborative effort. You hear frequently people talking about we need to work together, that we could be, again, multicultural or African-American. But you hear
mm-hmm.
the words of we need to work together. But you rarely hear a system tied to the rhetoric of we need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
for me, that's where I live. And again, as I talked about earlier regarding those who have websites, I was on James' website yesterday, and I want to connect
mm-hmm.
with him. And we're going to be talking after the show. But his site
mm-hmm.
does not have an affiliate or referral program. And watch this. You know and I know and most people know that regardless of what advertising we may do, the bulk of our business, virtually whatever it may be, comes from a referral, okay? And I think
mm-hmm.
you know that to be true. And so
it
because
is.
That's a,
it
yes,
is.
Yes, and so because that's a fact, then why not also have the ability to refer people in cyberspace so that referrals are going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Revenue is being shared. And the way to accomplish that, as you know, I've said this a couple of times, is that the website has a feature, and it's called an affiliate or referral program that allows others to say, I appreciate what you do. Let me send you business. And watch this. Most
mm-hmm.
people who send people business do it because they appreciate what a person does. However, if you also pay them, because I'm into, you know, capitalism, but I'm also
mm-hmm.
into social capitalism where that revenue is being shared. If you look at what's going on in our country right now with the big companies, the government is saying you must stop this massive disparity between the have and the have not. How dare mm-hmm. you fly to Washington, D.C. in your private jet? And, you know, the mogul said, okay, next time we're going to drive our American cars. And so where I'm going with that is the world right now is going through a balancing. It's a balancing currently where
mm-hmm.
the disparity between the have and have not is just so large. We're in what's called a barbell economy, Daphne. And what that means is you've got the haves on one end, as in a barbell, the big end on both ends, the have-nots on the other end, and then the bar of the barbell is a skinny bar. The skinny bar represents the middle class, okay? And so during a barbell economy is the best time to actually for the have-nots to move into the middle class and swell it, and some of them move right through the middle class and to the upper class. If the middle class does not swell, then you move into a depression. So that's why the government stimulus package is so to keep the cash flowing. As with water, if it's not flowing, it becomes very stagnant. And so the stimulus package is to help the cash to flow. And so right now is a time for embracing new ways of thinking, new technology, new age, and doing something different. And what I recommend to everyone listening today is that they embrace working together via the internet. And so whatever it is you do, Destiny, and everyone else who has a website, if you do not have a function and a feature on your website that allow other people to connect with you, I'm going to implore you to please take that next step. Talk to your current web person and say, I need to add an affiliation program to my website so that I can allow others to connect with me so that my website goes from being an island and I want to be part of a continent. And so that's the information I'd like to share that I really want to drive home is together, working together via the net is a whole new way. Let me close with this real quick statement. In the 20th century, people did business with people they like and know, okay? In the 21st century, Daphne, watch this. In the 21st century, people do business with people that deliver, okay? And
right, deliver.
Yes. Think of eBay today. People don't meet, they don't know. All they care is, what is your rating? Are you delivering consistently with things that you are selling or buying? If you are, I want to do business with you. They don't know what race. They don't know what creed. They don't know how tall, how fat, how skinny. They don't know anything about the person other than their delivery ratio.
They deliver when they say they're going to deliver.
Yes, ma'am. So I help to bring – I appreciate the socialness aspect of us humans, but also I'm that guy who also is a baby boomer that's helping the baby boomers say, okay, let's move from the 20th century and move into the new economy, which is in cyberspace. That's where the new billions are being generated. In the last 5 years, over 50% of all new billionaires have made their billions in cyberspace. So kind of keep that in mind. And now, how do you go get
And
together.
That was a good affirmation for me to remind, because I need to utilize that. And I honestly, to my listeners, you are not alone. I am, you know, I'm out there too, and I need with me at getting at it, and I still don't have it yet. So this is my time to get onto that. I have one question, Brian, pertaining to affiliated programs. I have been hearing, I have been getting mixed messages around this. There are some experts who tell you need to charge for the affiliate programs, and others say the affiliate programs need to be free and help you to pull revenue in which you compensate them from. What's your take on that?
Thank you for asking me that. Mine is very, very simple and straightforward. If you look at the top 100 websites on the internet, let's look at the top, all of them are free for affiliation. So absolutely no charge for affiliation. The affiliation is allowing others to sell your product or service, and it's reasonable to pay them a commission, whatever that percentage that you'd like. But to charge someone to affiliate is something that I highly do not recommend. And then let me say this in regards to a charge-based affiliate program. A charge-based affiliate program is no different than a standard multi-level marketing program. Affiliate programs and standard multi-level marketing are so similar. Most people have not really looked at it and figured that out, but absolutely there should be no charge, because my thing is, when you understand the internet, bottom line, you have millions of people who are trying to achieve the same thing, okay? And so if you charge, and you'll be in the minority if you're charging, you'll have virtually no one who would actually connect with you, because if you do it for free and you pay to play, now that's how it should be. So absolutely my recommendation is no charge to allow others to assist you in promoting your product. So charging someone to help you sell your stuff, I don't think that's a good recommendation. Free.
Okay. Well, thank you for making that clear. Brian, for the One iMall system, do members need to have a full-fledged website, or just a web page would do?
Well, you're asking very good questions, Daphne. I really thank you for that. Our model is designed for those from teenage who have a MySpace page to grandmothers and grandfathers. We also work within the church, and as you know, the age disparity is wide in the church. So you don't have to have a website. You don't have to at all. Those who have websites, they understand the space, and again, it's free. There's no charge to connect with us and to start generating revenue by getting others to link to us for free. And again, for those who don't have websites, there's a fee. And the fee is $199 for life. And the reason there's a fee for those who don't have websites is because we know they're going to take up more of our resources, because they're going to have more questions. They're going to ask, I don't call any questions unintelligent questions, but they're going to ask questions that the average person who's in the web space or have a web page, they understand already. So, again, not required that everyone has a website. But now let me say this. Years ago, Tavis launched his Blacks in Technology. He launched it because a lady out of Ohio bought his name, TavisSmiley.com, okay? As all of us who are in a cash-generating environment have a Social Security number or a tax ID, all of us do, my recommendation for those who are in business, own your name minimum, okay? Own your name. If your name is out there and available, buy it now. I didn't own BrianFranklin.com for several years, and then I waited for the person who had it, and I said, hopefully, when it expires, I will be able to get it, and unfortunately, it happened. So if your name is available, if your name is available, if you're in business, especially if you're you're a motivational speaker, you're writing books, have your name. And so that's number one. And then if you don't have, your name is not available, then at least buy a domain so that when you're sending and receiving emails, this one I'm gonna tap on your door with this one, Daphne. When you're sending and receiving emails, brand you. No disrespect to AOL or Yahoo or Gmail. God bless them for giving free emails to people who, quote-unquote, don't know. But me, being a technologist, my recommendation to everybody, you know this, Daphne, I share this with you, brand you or something that you have an affinity with so that you're building that entity. So you're Clark Hudson, brand that as you're going forward versus any of the ISPs, the Internet Service Providers. So everyone should own their – I recommend that everyone who's in business a domain at least so that they can use their emails properly. And then if they feel they need a business card, watch this. If they feel they need a business card, I also suggest they have a website also, okay?
Awesome. You have 7 minutes remaining. Time rarely go by quickly. when we're having fun. And if any of the listeners have any questions for Mr. Franklin, you can still call at 646-915-8166. And I want to remind you to go. You can listen to this full interview on the demand. We want you to go on there. We would love for you to mark our show as favorite. And please, by all means, share this site with all your friends, because this is Harvard, Princeton kind of information that you are getting here, and you are getting it free. So utilize it. So, closing thoughts, Brian.
Closing thoughts, Daphne, is number one. I am honored and very fortunate, and I feel blessed to have had this opportunity to share with you and your listeners. And most importantly, as you asked me to give out contact information for me, please hear me clearly, those who can hear my voice. I am fine. It's not about me, so I don't really want people to reach to me. I want people to reach to us. And so with
yes.
that said, on your blog radio show page, there's a link to your website, which is clarkhudson.com. You'll see Shopping Mall there. Go there. You'll see oneeyemall.com. Most importantly, take a look at what we do. Take an action. If you have a website, link to us for free. Once you do that, by the way, I am going to be notified, and I call certain people based on what it is that they do.
Yes.
If I see
yes.
some immediate synergy, I will contact them. But what I want them to do, Daphne, is take an action to connect with us. And
awesome.
Then
yes.
I connect with them, because, again, our motto is kind of like, I'll use this as an analogy, it's like a MySpace, whereas it has become a phenomenon. People who
yes.
connect with MySpace never talk to Tom. And so in the mm-hmm. cyberspace environment, I can't talk to everybody. However, we can connect with everybody. We do share revenue, and how we do that is through connections with people like you. So connect with us, and by doing
yes.
that, I will connect with you. So clarkhudson.com is what I want you to do. Click Shopping Mall. Connect, and then we will connect. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, and thank you, Brian, for paving the way and setting the example for us to make a difference, because it was just yesterday I was having lunch with this this young lady. I think we have a caller. Just hold that thought. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning,
caller.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Daphne, how
yes,
are you? This
I
is
can.
DA. Good. This is DA Williams calling in.
Hi,
and
DA.
Just,
how are you?
I am doing great. And I just wanted to say to you and your guests that I really appreciated all of the information that was shared today. And, yeah, I was actually calling to get some information about Mr. Franklin, but he covered it well in his closing remarks, so I am going to be going out to your website and finding out how to connect, and I just wanted to let you know that I really do appreciate the information that you're sharing with us over the Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, DA. And do you have a question for Brian?
Well,
Brian, DA is out of Ohio, right, DA?
Yes, I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio, yes.
Yes. No, actually, the question that I had, he answered in his closing remarks about the connecting aspect. So I'm going to be going
yes.
out to your website, so the question was actually answered. But I really do appreciate, you know, the information that you guys are sharing with us today.
Okay, thank you so much, DA, and I enjoy your commitment, too, that you are really sowing into the lives of us all. And just thank you for doing God's work.
That's no problem at all. And I sent you an email also. So.
Okay. Thank you, DA.
Okay. You all have a great day.
Yeah. Yes,
bye-bye.
We will do. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Yes, Brian. So thank you for covering that. And I didn't jot my question down that I had to. Oh, I was telling you about having lunch with a lady yesterday, and she began the topic of recession, and I said to her, you know, really, this is my time to tap into my creativity, because I say I'm an entrepreneur and a small business person, so I say I know what the economy is saying, but what I'm getting here is excess energy to really tap deep down into my creativity to see all the untapped resources that I have there that will help me to come out with a powerful testimony when all of this is finished. So I want to thank you, Brian, for so effectively sharing about collaborative economy and economics, excuse me, and how each and every one of us can tap into that. And I want to publicly recommit myself to just taking the hand of somebody else and to let them know I'm here for them and to let them know that they don't have to do it alone, and together we can make a difference.
Well said, Daphne, again. And I lead by how I talk and what I say. And so I think examples is the best way. And when I make that transition, I want my epithet to say he lived what he said, and he said what he lived. And collaboration is key. And so connect with us, and then you can gladly connect with me. But it's not about me. Again, it's about us. So I thank BA for calling in from Ohio, and connect with us, and then together we can make a difference.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Peace and blessings.
And I will do what I can here to get the programs in the school and to hook you up with some of the superintendents that I have a relationship with, Brian.
Well, that's greatly appreciated. The details are at projectfirstjob.com. That we believe their first job is staying in school, and most of us agree
school,
with that.
Yes. Awesome, awesome. All right, my brother. Well, you keep blessed, and you know, for the listeners, I think you got what I promised this morning, and from both Mr. Amson and Mr. Franklin for so eloquently sharing their journey with us and to help us to tap into our stories. Each of us have our stories, and what we need to do is to craft them, tell them in their entirety, tell them completely, tell them well, because it is in each of our stories that we tell that will help others to fulfill their dreams. Remember that each of you have a destiny, and do not allow anyone to stop you to get off track of your destiny. This is Dynamic Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul, saying, I'll see you tomorrow when our guest will speak up, Todd Fraser, and Marsha is soon. So long, do not settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. Be blessed.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? And the plan you have.
to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this land. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this land. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.